Welcome to a special Friday edition of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the weekly update where we examine the latest headlines from all across the world to keep you informed about issues that affect your faith. Stay aware, stay informed. It's the special Friday edition of Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we are meeting once again on a Friday. This Friday is a little bit sad Friday to me and obviously for all Christians around the world for what is happening to the Jews. Join me today on this broadcast, as usual, my producer and my wonderful friend, Brother Paul Sutcliffe. And thank you so much, brother, for joining me in this broadcast.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, Brother Paul, we were shocked that on Saturday, the attack on Israel. And for me, and I know for you, we know for sure that this is coming, not just for Israel, but even for America as well. As we're going to see Muslims become stronger, having upper hand, and controlling many of the countries around the world. Now, the question I would like to talk about today is why the Muslims hate the Jews. This is what I would like to cover in our broadcast today. The normal answer which you hear from Muslims or those who are in love with the Muslims, that the reason why the Muslims hate the Jews is because the Jewish people occupied the land of Palestinians. And that's why the whole world actually are trying to help the Palestinians to take their land back, including those who even live among us here in America. But is this a real reason? If this is a real reason, let's ask another question. Do the Muslims hate only the Jews? Obviously, we know for sure that according to the teaching of the Quran, Allah commands the Muslim to kill the Jews and the Christians. So they hate the Jews and they hate the Christians. I wonder now, what land the Christians occupied in the Middle East? Do you know of any country the Christians have occupied? Of course not. Now, do me a favor, Brother Paul, that we will always support what we teach with the words of Allah in the Quran. Read for me what is written in Quran chapter 9, verse 29.
Engage in war with those who do not believe in Allah, nor in the last day, nor forbid what Allah, his messenger, forbid, nor believe in the religion of the truth among those who have been given the book until they pay the jizya out of hand and they are subdued.
This is the command of Allah given to Muhammad to all the Muslim believers 1450 years ago. At this time, there was not any Christian or any Jew occupy any land. And the command of Allah was very simple, to engage in war with the people of the book, the Jews and the Christian. And I know how many times Muslims always say in the West, they love the people of the book and they have respect for the people of the book, and Islam honors the people of the book, which are the Jews and the Christians. But in reality, that's a lie. Why? Because the Quran, as we read in Quran chapter 9, verse 29, commands the Muslim believers, Allah commands the Muslim believers to engage in war with the Jews and the Christians. Not those who occupy their land. No, those who do not believe in Allah, nor the last day. Those who do not forbid what Allah and his messenger, Muhammad, forbid. Those who do not believe in the religion of truth, Islam. This is the direct command of Allah, Quran chapter 9, verse 29. Add to that, we know in Quran 5:51, Allah commands the Muslim people never to take the Jews or Christian for friends. Well, the Jewish people occupy their land. That is also a lie, which we're going to prove today in our broadcast. Let me ask a question, Brother Paul. In Muhammad's days, did Muhammad love the Jews and the Christians?
Muhammad hated the Jews and the Christians and tried to eliminate as many of them as he could.
Was there any problem at that time, 1450 years ago, about Israeli, the Jewish people, occupying the land of Palestine?
Israel has always been there, so there was no problem. I don't even think Muhammad actually knew where they were.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. Can you tell me, what did the Bible teach about who were the original people of the promised land when God made the promise to Abraham to give him that land? And that's when I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 15, verses 18 to 21.
In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto your seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Ephraims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. I didn't hear Philistines.
Oh, there was no Philistines there. So we're talking about literally 10 nations. Those are the original people of the land. God made the promise to Abraham. That's why, by the way, where we call it the promised land. Not the Holy Land, as Muhammad erroneously wrote in the Quran, but the promised land. That is a promise. Genesis 15, verses 18 to 21, where we know that this land is already given to Abraham's children. And by the way, that time, Abraham's name was not Abraham, but Abram. He did not even have one son yet. Now, why God gave that land, which belonged to all these 10 nations, to the children of Israel? Why he did not give it to him immediately? Why we have to wait 400 years plus for them to take the promised land? I want you to do me a favor. Read to me what is written in Genesis 15, verses 13 to 16.
And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. But in the fourth generation they shall come here again, for the sin of the Amorites is not yet full.
Oh, so the reason God did not give that promised land to Abram on the spot, and his descendants have to wait for 400 years, and obviously we know these are the 400 years they lived in Egypt. And then with the leadership of Moses, they were able to leave Egypt and to inherit the promised land. Why God waited 400 years? Because God is gracious, loving, merciful, gave the original people of that land chance after chance after chance to repent, but they did not. And when their sin was in full, as we read in verse 16, that is the time for judgment. That is when God ordered Moses and Joshua and many of the judges after them and all the kings to wipe the original people out of the promised land that they may inherit it as a punishment for their sins. Now, do we have any record in the Quran to say that that story we're talking about here in the Bible is true, that Moses came out of Egypt and he took the promised land to fulfill the promise which God gave to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15? So do me a favor, go to the Quran and read to us what is written in Quran chapter 5, and let's read verse 20.
When Moses said to his people, O my people, remember the grace of Allah on you, when he made prophets among you, and he made you kings, and he gave you what he did not give anyone of the world.
By the way, when you read the Quran, Brother Paul, it's full of errors. There were no prophets among the children of Israel in Moses' days because it was only Moses a prophet. And there were no kings in Moses' day because obviously the first king came to Israel. It is almost 500 years. King Saul and King David were the first two kings in Israel. So Muhammad got the story completely wrong. But let's move on to verse 21.
O my people, enter the holy land which Allah has prescribed for you, and do not turn away on your back, so you will be turned back losers.
So the children of Israel were commanded by Allah, as Muhammad states in the Quran, through Moses, to enter the holy land. What land? The promised land. What land? The land of the Philistines. No, there was no Philistines there. Period, Paul. There was not one Philistines. As a matter of fact, from the history of Egypt, we know that Ramses III, Ramses the Great, is the one who engaged in war with the Philistines, and he settles them in five cities, which goes as follows: Asdod, Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and Gath. These are the cities which still have the name, as we are familiar with the name Gaza, where we have all the problems in the Middle East since last Saturday. Now, let me ask a question, Brother Paul. When the Bible talks about different fights, like we read in Samson fought the Philistines, and when David kills Goliath, who was a Philistine. Now, are we talking about the Muslim era Philistines, or we're talking about...
Absolutely not. We're talking about the Greek, Crete seafarers.
Oh, good, 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 good. So here's the confusion, because some people think when we read the Bible and the Bible talk about Philistines, we think, oh, these Philistines were there for a long time. That's why we must go back to the Bible to learn about the Kaftor people, which is, by the way, a great island in the Mediterranean Sea, or the Sea people, or the Northern people. which are called Philistines. And here I want to share where people can go back and read these passages to learn about this very important fact. In Jeremiah 47, verses 1 and 4, in Amos chapter 9, verse 7, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 25, verse 16, and in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 26, verse 17. These are very important passages in the Bible from which we learn that the original Philistines have nothing to do with the Muslim Arab Philistines, which we're talking about in this broadcast. Brother Paul, if you don't mind, can you read to us at least that one passage in Amos chapter 9, verse 7?
Are you not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, says the Lord? Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Syrians from Kir?
Oh, so where did the Philistines come from?
Kaphtor, and which Kaphtor is what we would call today Crete.
Exactly. This is what the people need to learn. The truth. The Philistines who are occupying the promised land since 641 AD, the Arab Philistines have nothing to do with the original Philistines, those who used to live in that land. When Ramses III, the great pharaoh, settled them in this land, they were there roughly around 200 years before King David.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
So, now I want to read to you the rest of the passage which we started in the Quran, chapter 5. To see the deed which Allah, the God of Muhammad, gave to the children of Israel to inherit that promised land. And that is what is written in Quran chapter 5 and verse 25.
And he said, my Lord, surely I do not own anything except myself and my brothers, so separate between us and the transgressing people.
Who is speaking here? That is Prophet Moses, as Muhammad claimed. And why he called the children of Israel transgressing people? Simply because they refused to take the promised land. Why? Because they were afraid of the people who were living in the promised land. Not the Philistines, but the other peoples which we read about in Genesis chapter 15. So what did Allah say in the following verse?
He said, so surely it is forbidden to them. 40 years, they will be lost on the earth. So do not grieve on the transgressing people.
What did Allah say? It's forbidden forever?
It's forbidden to them 40 years.
What happened in the year 41?
That's a good question.
They took the promised land. And obviously, our dear Muslim friends, if you are not aware of your Quran, if you are ignorant of that which is written in the Quran, I'm glad you're listening to our broadcast today. So now we know, Brother Paul, that the land which is called the promised land in the Bible, it is the land given by Allah Almighty, and it is the land of the Jews. The Jewish people have never occupied that land, but it was given to them by Allah in the Quran. And obviously, as we know in the Bible, it was given to them by God, literally 1800 years before Christ came in the flesh. And they took it 400 years later as the promise of God was fulfilled. When somebody say that Jewish people occupied that land, that is a lie from the bottom of hell. And we hate them because they occupy the land. Then ask them, why do you hate the Christians? Why your Muhammad killed the Jews and the Christians 1,450 years ago when they did not occupy any land? He actually forced them out of their own homes, out of their own land in Mecca and in Medina and the rest of the cities of Saudi Arabia. Now, let me share with you from the Quran that not only Muslims and Muhammad hate the Jewish people, but even Allah himself. All right, Brother Paul, do me a favor and read to us what is written in Quran chapter 2 and verse 65.
And indeed you know of those who transgressed in the Sabbath. So we said to them, become despised monkeys.
Imagine with me, Allah hated the Jewish people so bad because they broke the Sabbath and he turned into despised monkey. How about Quran chapter 5 and verse 60?
Say, will I inform you of evil than that as punishment of from Allah? They whom Allah has cursed, on whom he has put forth his wrath. Some of them he changed into monkeys and swine, and they who worship the idolatry.
The wrath of Allah was on some of the Jewish people that he actually changed them to monkeys and swine. Why? Why did Allah do that? The answer is very simple. Because they broke the Sabbath, Brother Paul. They're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. They broke the Sabbath. Now, let me share with our dear audience the story about the breaking of the Sabbath to see who is the wicked. Is it Allah or the Jewish people? And to do that, let's look at what is written in Quran chapter 7 and verse 163.
And ask them about the village which was present by the sea when they transgressed on the Sabbath, when their whales came to them, appearing openly on their Sabbath day, and the day they did not have Sabbath, their whales did not come to them. Likewise, we tempted them because they were transgressors.
Ooh. Why the Jewish people broke the Sabbath? It's very simple. Because they could not catch fish on the rest of the week. So they go to catch fish on Sunday and there was no fish in the water. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there was no fish in the water. Only on the Sabbath, that is Saturday, where the fish would show up in the water. And who did that? Allah Almighty. Allah tempted the children of Israel by making them starve all week long. They could not catch any fish. And on the Sabbath, he brought the fish in the water and they fall into that sin. Who tempted who?
Allah tempted the Israelites just like Satan does.
Exactly, exactly. So, and because they did that, do me a favor. And now let's read verse 166.
So when they revolted against what they were forbidden to do, we said to them, become despised monkeys.
Now we know why Allah turned the Jews to despised monkeys. Because they were tempted by Allah when they could not have any fish all the week long to catch. And they only catch fish on Saturday because Allah causes this to happen. Man, oh man, what a wicked Allah. That Allah is Satan. He tempted the Jewish people to cause them to break the Sabbath so he can punish them, and he actually cursed them, and his wrath is on them. That's why they changed to monkeys and swine. Believe it or not, Brother Paul, when you go to school in Egypt, once in your lifetime, maybe twice, they will take you to the zoo. And as we stand up before a caged area where there's monkeys, the teacher told us, you see these monkeys, boys? Yes, sir. These used to be people. These used to be Jewish people. When he said that, when I was 10, 11 years old, I thought he's lying. He just hates the Jews. But then later, when I read the Quran, I found out he was not making this up. Muslims hate the Jews because the wrath of Allah is on the Jews. Why the wrath of Allah is on the Jews? Because they work on the Sabbath. Why does he work on the Sabbath? Because Allah tempted them, causing them not to catch fish all week long, only on Saturdays when fish show up in the water. That is the circle of deception, the circle of evilness of Allah, the God of Muhammad. Now, all Muslims, Brother Paul, from the early age of 6 or 7 years old, when they start praying, they quote Quran chapter 1, verse 6. And from that verse, we know that the Muslim people are doing exactly as what Allah wants them to do. Hate the Jew. Why? Because the wrath of Allah is on the Jew. Remember now, when Muslims pray their 5 daily prayers, they will actually repeat chapter 1 17 times a day. So can you read to us, Brother Paul, what is written in Quran chapter 1, verses 5 and 6?
Guide us to the straight way, the way of those whom you have graced, not those whom the wrath is against, nor the lost ones.
Imagine with me, Brother Paul, we got liberal churches all over this country, bring Muslim imams to recite these words in the church pulpits. And the people of the church do not have a clue what this imam is reading. He would just say, God, this is a straight way, the way of those whom you have graced. Wonderful. Not the way of those whom you wrath against. Now, whom Allah is talking about here? When Allah says not to guide us to the way of those whom you wrath is against, these are the Jews. Nor the last ones. Oh, these are the Christians. So we see in Quran chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, which Muslim repeats 17 times a day, that the wrath of Allah is on the Jew. And all Christians are lost. It's time for the people of the West to learn the truth about Islam and to learn the truth about what Muslims think of us, Jews and Christians, because as long as we don't educate the Muslims and teach them the truth about Islam, they will continue to hate the Jews and hate the Christians, to kill the Jews and to kill the Christians. Well, Brother Paul, thank you so much for sharing this sad moment with me as we talked about the problem between the Muslims who hate the Jews and the Christians in the land of Israel, as well as we're going to see it, sadly, all over the world. And until we meet again, may we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because the Bible commands us to do so. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.